This week on the Anxiety Slayer podcast, we're answering listener questions about some of the Ayurvedic practices we've been discussing for managing stress and anxiety. Before we get started, we'd like to give a shout out to our new patrons, Barbara, Henry, Sandy, and Kelly. Thank you so much for supporting our work at Anxiety Slayer. If you'd like to become an Anxiety Slayer patron and unlock a community of support, guidance, and inner calm, plus more than 200 downloads, you can join today at patreon.com/anxietyslayer. Today, we're going to be answering listener questions about how to calm your fragile mind and some of the conversations we've had over the last few weeks. Thanks so much for getting your questions to us. We love answering them and look forward to receiving even more in the days ahead. Welcome to another week, Ananga.
Hey, Shen.
It's so good to be with you and to answer some listener questions this week. The first question that came in was, can you explain how Ayurvedic practices such as meditation and breath work contribute to more sattva, or cultivating sattva and protecting the mind from negative influences?
Love that. So last week we were talking about these three qualities of nature, three gunas, sattva, rajas, and tamas. And simply put, sattva is the one we're aiming for peace of mind, for harmony, for clarity in the mind. If you want to know more about that topic, you can look back to episode 690. How do these practices like meditation and breath work contribute to cultivating peace? By helping bring calm to the mind, protecting us from behaving rashly, and bringing that pause for healthy thought. Often we're stalled by challenging thoughts, negative thoughts, unwanted thoughts. But when we have these beautiful practices like meditation and breath work, we're calming the mind, we're slowing the rate of our thoughts, and it gives us space. It helps bring peace and clarity to the mind, which are sattvic qualities in and of themselves. And when we have more clarity and peace, we can use that space and that clear thinking to explore other areas that can help us with our well-being. So understanding these three qualities and aiming for the quality of sattva, there's so many things that can influence it, including meditative practices, but also our diet, our lifestyle, the company we keep, the things we read, the things we watch, our environment, and anything we can do to help calm and clear the mind paves the way for us to explore those other choices too.
In a very conscious way.
Yes.
Making choice from really being in the present moment and making a conscious choice. And Carl Jung says, until you make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life and you will call it fate.
Yeah. And that's tamagun. That's the lower quality that we talked about last week.
Mm-hmm.
That quality is when we don't want to make a choice. We don't want to decide, but that's also a choice. So we're being run by the unconscious instincts. Subconscious thoughts, subconscious feelings and emotions, but they're just running the show. And we did an episode a few weeks ago about being present in our life and not living on autopilot. When we're living fully on autopilot, we're under the influence of that lower energy, tamagun, where everything's just rolling over and we're stuck in it and we don't think we can change. So yeah, these practices really help make the unconscious conscious. We can see our patterns, we can see our behaviors and habits, and then we have the opportunity to make positive change that can support us in more clarity and more peace. Once you start leaning in the right direction, you can nourish that energy and increase it.
You sure can. The next question is, how does Ayurveda view the role of mindfulness in making conscious choices for your mental well-being? It really starts with Ayurveda recommending practices that help us feel present and focused right here, right now. Mindfulness and Ayurveda go hand in hand. And it's back to what we just mentioned about making choices to lift our consciousness.
Yeah, And the fact that anxiety and unsettled thoughts are provoked by too much incoming information. So mindfulness, present moment awareness, protects us from that overstimulation, just bringing the mind to a single-pointed focus. Just this morning, I was listening to somebody explaining this point from the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali. And one of the verses, 132, recommends the practice of fixing the mind on one object. And the verse says that that should be performed as a practice in order to eliminate disturbances. So that's the point, is to just practice bringing the mind to one point of awareness for protection, to protect our mind from disturbances. And these days we have so much incoming information, and that disturbs our mental well-being. We were sharing before we started recording today about both of us have been out in environments where there's just too much noise for us to feel settled or comfortable. And then there's the scents and the lights and so much movement wherever we go. So these practices are protective for the mind, to help the mind settle. And from that settled place, we can then make better choices for our mental well-being. There's a teaching that explains that the movement of our eyes affects the rate of our thoughts. When our eyes are, you know, darting around, looking at different things, if you think of scrolling on social media, how much that's affecting our thoughts and our minds. What to speak of the fact that you scroll up and there's some sudden noise and some changing visual, all of these things disturb the mind. So present moment awareness helps bring peace, and it gives us that healthy base to consider our choices.
And the more you can make conscious choices, the more sattvic you are, the more you are going to experience that beautiful, peaceful sweetness that is possible for each and every one of you. We do want to let you know that there's a quiz that we've created at our Patreon that you can access, and it's called the Three Gunas Quiz. And it's about discovering your mental constitution by reviewing your diet and habits and addressing where you want to make changes. And you can find the Three Gunas Quiz at patreon.com/anxietyslayer. And it will be available for our free members too, so everyone can see it. Again, that's patreon.com/anxietyslayer. Our third question that came in this week is, can you elaborate on how the foods we eat can impact our mental clarity and emotional balance? A great question. And it begins with fresh foods. Fresh foods have the most energy, the most vital energy, which is called prana in Ayurveda. Anytime you can have fresh greens and fresh fruits and anything that has not been sitting on a shelf or in a can or in a box, anything that is a whole food, you're in really, really good shape.
Yeah, very simple to know what's good to eat just by looking at fresh, colorful, vital foods. When we eat foods that are lacking in vitality, stale, canned, or processed foods, we don't receive the same support either for our minds or our bodies. We don't receive the same balance on either level. Those things are devitalized. Those kinds of foods are devitalized, and they're also harder to digest. And if you look at them, they just don't look as good as fresh fruit and vegetables. I always love walking past old-fashioned grocery stores. There's a market town near us where they have big fruit and veg stores at the weekend, and I just love seeing all the colors changing according to what's in season. And it just looks so wholesome and vital. So that's the simple key. And yeah, it affects our mental clarity, our energy, and our emotional balance. By eating fresh, healthy, nourishing foods, it gives strength to our body and it gives a clarity and peace to the mind. And we know if we eat heavier foods, you can feel it, especially once you've made changes to your diet. Should you have a spell where you're eating more comfort foods, very quickly we start to feel sluggish and things feel heavier to digest. The body feels more lethargic.
Yeah, you might be in a moment of pure pleasure while you're eating that large meal, whether that be a pizza or a burger or something along those lines, but how do you feel after? It's so much harder to digest processed food, big meals, animal proteins, much, much harder. It's one of those things that you don't ever want to feel that way again once you've made that choice.
Yeah, it lets you know.
It really does let you know. And then you have a wonderful, well-balanced, fresh plate of food. And it's a much kinder gift to give to your mind and body.
Yeah, our body lets us know. We're answering these questions in relation to mental clarity and emotional balance. And last week, we discussed these three gunas, these three qualities of nature. And we said that everything falls into those categories, into those qualities of nature. And that includes our food. So our food also comes under the category of sattva, which is the mode of goodness, of clarity. And anything in that category promotes good health. Then rajas is described as the mode of passion. It doesn't mean romantic passion. It means more activity, ambition, striving. That rajasic quality, that's provoked by things like too much spicy food, too hot, too spicy, too salty. And those foods often cause discomfort afterwards. They might cause acid in the body or other discomforts in the body. And then the tamasic foods, which is described as the mode of ignorance or darkness or inertia, those foods are stale. Meat comes under that category. Old foods, stale foods, devitalized foods come under the category of the guna of tamas. And that has its effects on our mind too. It dulls our consciousness. It makes us feel lethargic. And it doesn't give us the light, bright, peaceful mind that foods that come under the category of sattva give us.
And you have a book recommendation that you mentioned for sattvic cooking. Would you share that, Ananga?
Yeah, there's a wonderful chef called Divya Alta, D-I-V-Y-A. If you just put that in Google, if you put in Divya's Kitchen, D-I-V-Y-A, Divya's Kitchen, she's an Ayurvedic chef. She has a restaurant in New York. If you're in that area, you could check her out. And she's written two beautiful books, which have been very well received. One is called The Joy of Balance, and the other one is called What to Eat for How You Feel. And they're both Ayurvedically based. And her website also has a store with dal mixes, anti-inflammatory blends, and all kinds of wonderful stuff you can order to try. But very beautifully created cookbooks, put a lot of care into them. So her website is divyas.com.
Thank you. Our next question is, how can we navigate the pressure to constantly be busy and prioritize self-care and stillness without feeling guilty or without feeling unproductive?
Mm-hmm.
Which is, wow, I understand that question, because for many years I had a struggle navigating that, and now not so much. There's a peace that comes from respecting and understanding our own nature. And if our nature is not to be in that space of go, 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 do, we're going to experience a lot of pressure, a lot of stress, a lot of unhappiness, frankly, because it's not who we are. And I would like to say even more so than that, it's not who any of us really are. And we all, each and every one of us, deserve to prioritize self-care without beating ourselves up about it. In my opinion, most often, the pressure we feel is a societal norm. And this does not mean it has to be your mode of operation. Try to see it for what it is and then adjust accordingly.
And I think the more settled we are in understanding and respecting our own nature. Remember, we had a conversation a few years ago now. It's on our Patreon, and I think it's also in our social anxiety course, where we discussed Susan Cain's book, Quiet, The Power of Introverts in a World That Won't Stop Talking. And you and I both read the book, and we took the quiz and then disclosed our findings in the quiz, and we both knew we were introvert, but I didn't realize how much of an introvert I am.
Yeah.
And it was quite a supportive step, having that conversation and really spending time with that book, because it helped me claim that way I operate when she shares things like, you'd rather be at a party or at home in your pajamas with a good book. I really go for the book option, and very happily. And I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything at all. In fact, if I was at a party, I'd be wishing I was at home with the book. There's protection in living according to our nature. First of all, in using calming practices, journaling, writing, reflecting, talking to people we trust, to understand our nature, and then to settle with it and to be happy that I am who I am.
Mm-hmm.
This is how I am, and we don't have to conform with anyone else. Edith Eger, who I often quote, says, I be me and you be you. And there's a piece in that, and it's respectful. When we're trying to conform to a societal norm, it's not respectful on either side. It's not possessing self-respect or incoming respect.
Right, right.
There's an expectation of conformity that just doesn't suit our nature. And we see this so much in the education system, where children are expected in many schools to have the same learning style and fit into certain boxes. And we see our children struggling with that. And for ourselves, if we feel guilty or unproductive, that's one kind of suffering. If we feel overwhelmed or overstrained, that's another kind of suffering. But there's a beautiful Vedic teaching on the principle of Dharma that teaches that Dharma is a principle. It's a living cosmic principle. And when we're in alignment with it and we understand and honor our nature, then there's protection in that.
And then I'd also like to say, what if stillness and self-care actually lead to increased productivity? Because it's what I've found.
Yeah. And they do.
Hmm.
Certainly more efficiency, but it's a smoother efficiency, isn't it? What's the saying? More haste, less speed.
Hmm.
We start rushing around trying to multitask, and we just get more stressed. We make mistakes. Then we get irritated with ourselves, or others get irritated with us.
Right.
It's a really uncomfortable place to be. So yeah, it's usually the case. Stillness and self-care lead to increased productivity. And only we can give ourselves permission for that experience.
And then finally, our last question for this week is, how can I incorporate Ayurvedic principles into my work environment to create a space that supports mental harmony and productivity? Which is, man, I wish more people were asking this question, especially for those who are going into an office environment. You and I have been working from home now for many, many years, but we both at one point worked in a bustling office environment with lots of people, lots of comings and goings, and it is a different world for sure. And there are many things that you can do to incorporate more Ayurvedic principles, simple choices that you can make, something as sweet as taking a living plant to your office and putting it on your desk, creating food in advance, maybe meal prepping for your lunches so that you have nourishing home-cooked food that you can eat, or perhaps exploring local options for a healthy and fresh lunch. These are just a couple of things that you can do. Certainly, we recommend hydration. Take your water bottle, take your flask of herbal tea or whatever you enjoy drinking, but stay hydrated throughout the day.
Yeah, making your workspace as comfortable as possible for calm focus. There's lots of earplugs available now with different grades of sound cancelling. I have some that I use if I'm reading in a coffee shop or if I'm outside the house. Sometimes I wear them inside the house if the neighbor's kids are screaming in the garden and I just want to read peacefully. I also have noise-canceling headphones. But at work, we might not be in a situation where we can use headphones. If you can and have your own playlist of relaxing music, then that's a really good option. But otherwise, there are these discrete different kinds of earplugs. One popular make is called Loops. and you can choose how much you're able to hear. So you can still hear people talking around you, but you can just take that rumble, that overstimulating rumble of noise down. So that's one option to explore. Using essential oils, either wearing them on your wrists or having a diffuser on your desk if that's possible. Taking stretching and breathing breaks as much as possible. And avoiding interactions that are stressful or disrespectful, which also ties in with the previous question about really understanding our nature and how we like to show up and how we like to interact. But those things are all in alignment with an Ayurvedic lifestyle, just bringing as much peace and harmony into our day as we can while doing the things we need to do. If you're somebody that's responsible for a workspace, then you can make changes on a larger scale. You might be able to make changes that bring in more natural light, more plants, more green, establish ground rules for respect and support of staff members, all things to consider. But just really being open to having a mindset that looks for things that can be gently changed and improved rather than feeling boxed into a place where we're not comfortable or we're not happy spending time seeing how we can change it and how we can explore these qualities of nature and bring more sattva, bring more harmony and gentleness and peacefulness and clarity into our workspace.
Become an Anxiety Slayer patron and unlock a community of support, guidance, and inner calm, plus more than 200 downloads. Join today at patreon.com/anxietyslayer. Thanks so much for listening. We look forward to coming back again next week. And again, thanks to all of our patrons and to those who sent in these great questions this week.